back in Hull Station. It's the 26th of April 2016. It's 5 degrees colder than Christmas Day, and I just walked down to the station. It's about a couple of miles and got drenched in heavy rain and hail, so the weather's been pretty awful, and I'm heading up to Edinburgh where it's probably going to be worse. I'm going to Edinburgh Napier University to take part in a symposium tomorrow on REF, which is Research Excellence Framework. That's the means by which the UK government dispenses money for research to the various universities. A few of us are talking about different aspects of REF, and I've been asked to speak about using social media to promote your research. Right, well, good afternoon, final session. I'm between you and a glass of wine, which is even worse than Graham's task of taking over after lunch. You've already met me, and I've thanked our colleagues Hannah and Jenny for setting the day up. I just think that it's a great day, because if we did this at my own university, I would hope as many people would turn up. You know, it's very good opportunity. So I've been asked to talk about. I'm going to have to keep turning my back because I like to stand here. Impact of social media in the dissemination of research. But I'm going to talk about a few things around social media, and also one or two things that actually come from the 2014 REF, because there are some sort of facts and figures that you can pick up from that. You're welcome to have these slides. You can either email me for them afterwards, because my email address is at the end, like Graham's. Or it's on my SlideShare, which you'll easily find, Roger Watson SlideShare on the internet. And I think I put the link out on Twitter this morning if you want to get them. Now, I always think it's cheating when people start a presentation by showing a YouTube. And you may have seen this one already, but it's so good I've got to show it again. So a couple of minutes of a YouTube on social media, which if you haven't seen before, I think you'll be impressed. Good, we're back on track. Okay, I always find that astonishing to watch. From the first time I ever saw it, very slick. And some of those facts have been superseded now, in fact. It's very good. So that's just to sort of get into your mind the sort of basic idea about social media, which I'm sure many of you are on. There's a fair amount of tweeting going on in the room. I can see that already from my own feed. But just in case you're in any doubts, I want to really drive home the message about social media. And what I want to do, first of all, is relate it to publication. And publication goes through this process, which Graham and I have talked about many times. Submission, peer review, revision, resubmission, you know, rejection maybe, acceptance, and then final publication. And most of us think that's the end of the road. You know, if that's it, great, it's published, people will read it. But we've always had a bit of a responsibility to help our papers to get out there. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think we should take responsibility for doing that. And these days, with social media of all sorts, and there are kinds of social media that I don't use yet, and don't, you know, there's some that I use, and you can't use everything, but you know, we should be taking a step off the road and trying to do something different and help to get our work out there. You know, we deserve it, other people deserve to see it, and I can demonstrate with at least a couple of bits of evidence that this does actually have an effect on your citations, which is important. I'm always basing, as I think Graham said, I'm always basing this on the assumption that when people publish things, they do want them to be read and they do want them to be cited. You'd be surprised. You get some strange people in academic life, but most people want to. So I think we've got to, you know, without making it a life's work, get out of the sort of usual comfort zone of just, you know, publishing, getting the paper out, right, when's the next paper coming along? That's important, but what else can we do to actually push it and get out there? And actually create a buzz around your paper and take the good with the bad when it comes back in. You know, you send out something on Twitter, you don't always get positive replies, as I found out. So I'm imagining, I'm not asking for a show of hands here, we don't really have time anyway, but say, you know, just ask yourself how many of you have written a letter. For the younger members of the audience, a letter is something on paper that goes an envelope and goes off. But most of us have written letters at some time. I'm still astonished when I go away from the university for a prolonged period, like I've been away for 3 weeks and go back. My secretary still has quite a substantial pile of mail for me. But at one time, it would have been that size, you know. But most of us have written a letter, made a phone call, sent an email, sent a text, you know, whatever way we send it, SMS, WhatsApp, or whatever. My kids use the yellow little thing, Snapchat, yeah, Snapchat or whatever. I can't get into Snapchat, I have to say. Posted on Facebook, sent a tweet. I think if we're asking for a show of hands, I think that we'd get fewer and fewer hands as we go down. I'm assuming that, and I'm assuming that one or two may have written a blog, but some of you may not. And I really would like to encourage people, you know, to do these things at the bottom here, specifically around your publications. And how many of you, for example, have posted on YouTube as well? All these things can be used to promote your work. On the other hand, how many of you have got a website? Most of you are academics, will have a website, at least produced by a university. Some of you as postgraduates will. You may have your own website. They're easy to set up. You can get them for free, or you can pay very little money to get one. How many of you got a Twitter site? Probably not so many. How many of you got a Facebook site? I'm sure the vast majority of people, everybody seems to be on Facebook these days, except my mother. How many of you got a LinkedIn profile? Another important way, sort of academic, social networking for grown-ups and academics and business people. Google Scholar site, which again I think is a very important thing to have. Austin mentioned Google Scholar earlier on today. And an ORCID number, another important thing. If I've got time at the end, I'll mention ORCID numbers. And a research gate site, which Anna mentioned. And or a researcher ID site, which is the specific site linked to Web of Science for creating your own research profile. I'm not trying to shame people into saying, well, I haven't got one of those. I'm just saying, you know, these are all the possibilities. It's fairly bewildering, but, you know, as I say, going down the list, I find fewer and fewer people have got some of these things, and they're all important ways to get your work out. They're all essentially social networking. Social networking isn't just Twitter and Facebook. All of these things are essentially social networking. It's a new one, but some things we've been doing for quite a while. Again, to push home, this appeared on the video to some extent. I got these slides from a mutual colleague of Graham and I's over in Sydney, Caleb Ferguson, who's a social media maniac. And, you know, just one or two things. Tweets predict citations to papers, and again, I can demonstrate that. I think that's the main message to get across here today. Search engine queries predict influenza. These days, people, you know, as soon as people start looking in a country for symptoms of flu, what does it mean? It's now becoming a clear predictor. People are monitoring this and saying, well, there's a flu epidemic on the way because people are coming down vague signs and symptoms. And sure enough, it does, and it's done it recently. Tweets during the bird flu epidemic correlated with incidence rates, so the more people experienced it, got it, the more they got. That's probably fairly obvious. And tweets about movies accurately predict their success in the box office, prior to initial screening. So there are clear indicators that social media is not just following what's going on; it's often coming out before the phenomenon becomes apparent. So there's a couple of papers that are fairly clear about it. I'm sure there are more, but these are the two that I've been reading and using lately. A paper by Gunther Eisenbach, that's the Journal of Medical Internet Research. I've got no idea how good this journal is, but the article's pretty good, I think. He said, what he says here is highly tweeted articles were 11 times more likely to be highly cited than less tweeted articles, etc. The odds ratios and everything are shown there. Those of you who know anything about correlation and causation will know that the fact that two things correlate doesn't mean to say that there's necessarily a causal link between them, but they're probably, you know, it's highly likely there is, and I think it's not worth taking the chance of not getting stuff out there for social media. There's certainly a link between the two. And this has led to the interesting concept of twitations, measuring the number of times things are tweeted out rather than citations. And the other thing which they mention in the paper is to impact. You know, this is a way of impacting or having impact, is getting stuff out on Twitter. It's not just Twitter, it's blogs and Facebook mentions and things like that. But it's actually, you know, it's quite a nicely quantitative scientific piece of work. Then the other paper that came to my attention last year, 2 years ago, 2014, is in Transplantation, which is a very reputable journal in the field of organ transplantation. And just basically social media mentions increased the citation or an early measure of impact, measured through citations in solid organ translation. And basically the key message there was the odds of an article being highly cited were significantly increased by mentions on social media, alteration of 2.58, highly significant. Don't know what the confidence interval was well, but that's a fairly impressive effect size. So there is some evidence that doing this helps to get your work out there. So these days, in addition to traditional metrics, the sort of ones that Austin was talking about, like citations and itch indices and such like, most journals, most good journals from the big publishers like Wiley, Elsevier, I know for sure, are beginning to look at alt metrics. These are alternative metrics, and they're measures of mentions of papers in social media. And I think that this is going to grow. I don't think it'll ever replace citations proper to papers, citations and other scientific bits of work. But I think it's going to grow, and I can see this easily becoming used in people's CVs and possibly ways of presenting the impact, not just of your paper, but of your work for the impact aspect of REF. So altmetrics, if you go to, this is the landing page, sorry, this is a beyond the landing page of my journal, a very highly cited article and an editorial. That's the altmetric score on there, 41, that's huge. That was within a very short space of time. All these controversial things like editorials, I was saying to someone earlier, they tend to get cited a lot more than ordinary scientific papers. If you click on the altmetric score, I haven't got a page that shows it, you then get the breakdown of how things have been cited, in which social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook or whatever, and who has cited them. It says that it's other researchers, the public, newspapers and such like. I don't know how they gather that information or how they can tell. It does seem that citations on your own blog site or your own Twitter site actually don't count, so there may be some sort of adjustment made there. But it's interesting. So just you can go to any highly altmetricated paper and have a look, and I find these sort of things fascinating. And this is all done not by the journal, this is done by an independent service. And just to note that mentions on blogs are worth 5 more points than a mention on Twitter, and mentions on LinkedIn or I think on Facebook are worth 0.25 of a point. So all social media sites don't count as being equal. So blogging is much more effective in getting your the altmetrics up than, say, Twitter. But so I think the best idea is to write a blog, send it out on Twitter, and then get people to read the blog, and you know that kind of thing. There's ways of tying these things together, as I'll show you. So that's one thing that's coming these days. But the problem is, I do find many people still saying, "I just don't get Twitter." I mean, that's the very phrase they use. My colleagues at work, some of my kids don't get Twitter. They get all sorts of other things. And you may say, well, Twitter's been on the go for, 5 years? Not that long it's been on the go, 5 years, maybe a little bit more, 7 years, something like that. Will it be superseded? Will it be replaced? Of course it will someday. But these days, I think it's still at the spearhead, despite not being the biggest social media site or being the most consulted. I still think it's the spearhead of any sort of social media campaign. And Twitter's not too difficult to get. You've got to get it because it's happening. It's here. You know, I think I do feel above any other thing, I hope I don't make people feel uncomfortable, I really think that you've got an obligation to get into this social media stuff and push your work out. Your university's doing it. They've got a Twitter site because I've just been using it. The conference has got a hashtag, that kind of thing. You use these things, gather them together, and you know, I'm assuming somebody at Napier today will be looking at their Twitter site and sending that out to their followers. So it gets multiplied fairly quickly. And it gets multiplied very quickly by the power of retweeting. Of course, it depends who picks them up and tweets them, but this has nothing to do with research. It's women's digital woman, whatever that is, with a couple of thousand followers. That gets sent out, picked up by somebody called Brett with 7,000. He sends it out to his followers there, and within three levels of tweeting, it gets out to nearly 20,000 people. Now, not every 20,000, not every one of those 20,000 will read, will click on the link, which is a good thing to do, to include a link and read it, but imagine if 10% of them do. Imagine if only one does, that's one more than would have read it otherwise, you know? But the potential of Twitter, and if you use it properly, is stunning, to be absolutely frank. Okay, the other thing that you may not know, I'm just going to run through different ways of using social media, blogging, blogs, weblogs, very useful, and I think again this should be something that should be sort of at the, not at the, how can I put it, in the background to your social media campaign. It won't be the thing that most people go to, but it should be the thing you're trying to draw people's attention to. And blogging can be quite simple. People say, oh, I haven't got time to blog and haven't got time to write things. Don't write much on a blog. Think how people look at a web page. Write 500 words. Stick a picture in, which makes it more attractive. 500 words, you can see that in one page of a computer screen. Don't write 10,000 words on a blog like some people do. If I get a link and it's a long, long blog, I just lose interest. Make it short and snappy and have a link to your publication, to your research project, to whatever you're doing, you know. So they're important. I mean, they're not difficult to do. I'm going to use myself as a stunning example of a social media person here. That's my own, one of my own blogs. I've got several blogs, and I do one on nursing education. I did a response to the Francis report within about 24 hours of it coming out, and that's maybe I count thousands of hits. Simply because I got in there early. It wasn't difficult to do because I'm full of opinions and I just managed to take all the 29 points about nursing and bang them in. That's just one way to use blogs. I didn't happen to refer to my own research there, but I could have done. We have a blog at our faculty, which I happen to run, Nursing Health Research and Scholarship at Hull. It's getting lots of hits and views, and we'll put up any publications by our colleagues. We put in keywords. We always put a photograph in if there's a photograph there to make it more interesting, and often little bits of news as well stuck in there. Very effective, very quick way. That takes me. I could have somebody will if somebody sends me the information about a paper, I can actually create that entry within 5 minutes sitting on a bus on my iPhone. You know. And it's up there. And then every Friday I send out a digest of all the links. Easy to do. So it doesn't have to be time consuming. I write a blog for Sigma Theta Tau called Hanging Smart about all my travels, and they're about 500 words long. You know, when you can make it smaller, it's all in one page. So the very effective ways to get stuff. And I slip in little bits of my research, other things I'm interested there. You know, and they do get picked up. I mean, they do get picked up. People say, "I read about your paper. Or I read about that conference paper you did, or I listened to the podcast you did when I read your Hanging Smart blog." And at the Journal of Advanced Nursing, we think it's so important. We have our own site, our own blog site, where we put up. And again, that's about 500 words. The references are just down there somewhere, and I link it to a podcast which reads out the content of that as well, so we'll get two social media hits at once. So we're using these things a lot. They don't take a great deal of time to do. YouTube, as you saw, is the biggest search engine in the world. They gave you some figures about YouTube there. I don't know if you multiplied them up in your head. The figures I got, in addition to that, there are 20 hours of video uploaded every minute. So we held our breath for 60 seconds. Another 20 hours goes up. Every day, they reckon 100. I haven't done the math. Please don't check as a word minute. But I've heard tell that 100 years of video are uploaded every year. I watched the story of YouTube on a flight back from Hong Kong recently, and that's what they were saying. So YouTube's very powerful as well, and I think should be part of any social media campaign that you've got. And YouTube's are really very easy to do as well. Podcasting, another way as well, even easier, with one of these recording devices here and a subscription, very cheap, to a podcasting site. I would always advise you to subscribe to a podcasting site. Setting your own one up through Google is very, very complicated. $100 US a year and you've got access to a podcasting site like Podbean, and you can put them up. And I've had 500 downloads of my podcasts every month since I started podcasting, and they are specifically about issues to do with the genre of advanced nursing, including other things of interest to myself. But the ones about the genre of advanced nursing, for instance, what happens to my paper after publication, avoiding predatory publishers, these things get widely read, and I can slip in references here as well. That's my podcasting page. That's the picture that Austin used. You can see there's nothing very academic here. That's my niece singing. That's a song from Suits. That's some clip from Frankston. I'm probably breaking copyright there, but you can. Well, these are the archives. Predatory publishers and hijackers. You know, way up on the list of downloaded podcasts. 6,599. That was done about a month ago since I started. An astonishingly effective way to get stuff out there. So, a really good paper from Matthew Rees in the Times Higher last year, saying 10 tips on blogging for academics, or 10 tips on social media. Is first of all, think through what you want to put out and what you want to achieve by social media. I think it's well worth dipping your toe in the water and just going. I started off by just setting myself up a Twitter site. No idea what to do with it, but just playing about, learning how to use hashtags, @s, and putting in links, and then began to think, right, you know, I'm going to have fun here, I'm going to promote my work, I'm going to, you know, provoke people, I'm going to retweet interesting links, you know, and I'm going to do it all in equal measure, and I'm not out to sell any particular message, I'm going to use it as widely as I possibly can. You may not want to do that, you may want to restrict it to professional issues, it's up to you. You've got to be careful of the career-ending tweet, of course. Tweeting after a couple of pints is maybe not the best idea. Oh, sorry, it's a bit slow, sorry. I think I love this point. Just consider it as part of your normal working day. 5 minutes at the end of the day, 5 minutes at the beginning. Do a bit of tweeting, in addition to the 10 minutes of writing you're going to do as well. You know, the day gets full, but just work it into your day. People tend to see writing and publishing as over there. You know, I'm here, that's over there. Tweeting, that's all over there. No, just make it part of your daily working life. Don't make it a big thing. Develop a sense of what the advantages are of each of the platforms, and I've hinted at that. Blogging gets you big points on all metrics. Twitter is the way to get the information out there. That's what people will read quickly, you know. So you've got to be strategic about the use, and I've got a very specific idea about that to present just at the end before I finish. Be realistic, you know, don't try and cover everything. I'm not interested in all the social media sites. There are hundreds of them. Don't get yourself obsessed with all the different ones. Have a strategy, the main ones. Mine are Twitter, Facebook, blogging, YouTube, you know, that's the one. Just stick to that. As long as it goes out through one platform where all the links can be found, you're winning. It doesn't matter what you use behind that. Be aware who's seeing it, but don't be paralysed by saying the wrong thing, you know. Don't say anything that's going to be libelous or whatever, but don't be afraid of being a bit controversial now and again. You can get blasted now and again, but it doesn't matter. It's only once. Don't get really angry and fire back an angry tweet at somebody. You're much better to ignore it. In fact, you're much better to go on Facebook and do a long one. Make your blogs easy to find, you know, don't hide them away. Some people, well, I'm on Twitter and I'm on blog, but I don't really want anybody to read it. Of course you do. Stick a link at the end of your email. Always include, you know, your blogs. I've just done it here, you know, but say, or I give my Twitter handle and all my slides so people can then go to Twitter. They'll find everything that they want else that I do there. And make sure everybody knows about your blog. Don't hide them away. That's sort of obvious. And a couple of final ones. Setting up automated links or automated tweets is quite a good idea. I've done it and sometimes I haven't done it. You can do it if you want to. I'm not absolutely convinced about this one, but it's one way of not having to worry too much about it. You can get things to be tweeted out several times if you're very clever about it, that kind of thing. But I wouldn't say that's the most important thing, but it is possible if you absolutely can't be bothered going on doing it yourself. And, you know, don't make obscure titles, just make it a plain, clear title that will draw people in. Okay, so that's just some hints about social media. All of them important, all of them, I think, very useful. So, what about REF? That's what we're here to talk about today. I thought I'd have a look. This was completely, you know, I did this specifically for this because I really wasn't sure myself about how much social media had been used in the REF. In addition to the publications that we've talked mainly about today, there's also the impact case studies, which is like was 25% of the REF assessment and will be bigger next time round. And I well remember in the ones that I read seeing mentions of blogging and social media. So, from the point of view of impact, which is about your research as opposed to your publications, getting some buzz out there about it and making a record of it and knowing how many hits you've got and how many mentions and retweets and what you've got actually counts as impact. And I'll show you, people used it, so we can use it too. These are all the submissions. That's the whole size of the REF submission, just to show you how much work was done. We looked at nearly 7,000 impact cases, and that's the breakdown of the research. So what I did was I used that search engine at the beginning. You can go to the REF page, anybody can do this, and I just put in, you know, I put in blogging and tweeting and whatever, just to see what I could get out of it. So the mentions of social media within those altogether were 233. It's not huge across the whole database, but it's big. People are using it. Blogs, 678. So again, mentions of it. Podcasts, 214. YouTube's 340. I think that was it. Oh, YouTube. Two spellings of YouTube. So I searched them both. So YouTube was by far the biggest one. People are really, you know, that's getting up there. If those are unique to particular impact cases that were put back, there were 7,000 of them, you know, a seventh of them have used YouTube alone, over a seventh of them. It may be more than one mention, of course. This is just a word search. It's nothing very scientific. So the point is people are using social media to project their research and to get it out there. Okay, so what I did after that was I went to the panel one and sub-panel one, that was just clinical medicine. I just used the first one I came to, which is the first one you get on the list. So this is by no means representative. But I looked at some top universities to see if they'd mentioned in their REF templates, not the individual impact statements, social media. So this is University of Cambridge. I just copied out the particular awards. They mentioned, you know, they had the European Podcast Award for UK non-profit podcast, the inaugural Royal College of Pathologists Funders Prize, and whatever. You know, so they, you know, they mentioned it. I think you'll agree. Cambridge is, it's down in England somewhere. It's quite a good university. Edinburgh University, not quite as good as Napier, but getting there. They, in their again, podcasting via YouTube, 35,000 hits today. Very specific. You know, not only do we do it, this is the number of hits we got. Oxford, they published more than 70 blogs, podcasts, and lectures. We're getting 500,000 downloads. You know, this counts as impact. This impresses people like myself who are looking at the impact case studies. So I think there's every reason to start thinking now about how you're going to get this out there and keeping a record of it. It does take a little bit of effort. If you've got a website about your research, have a hit counter on it. You know, if you've tweeted about something, follow the retweets and see where they've gone, that kind of thing. So making it work. Well, making it work, in the last couple of minutes, don't run your social networking sites in isolation. I think you've really got to have them linked up. Don't just say, I've got a Twitter site and a blog site, and I do that, you know, try and link them up. Do develop a strategy. Think about how you're going to promote your own work, or as a department or a research group, how you're going to promote your own work and increase your own profile on social media. Don't just leave it to chance and don't just do it randomly. Decide what your essential content is as well. You know, what are you going to put out? Essential content should be, you know, from a spearhead maybe of Twitter, Facebook linked to it, or it linked to Facebook, and your blog linked to the Twitter site. I'll show you my complicated diagram in a minute for that, my sort of a schematic diagram. But decide what you're going to get out there, you know. It may be several things, but, you know, links to your publications, outlines of your projects, profiles of your researchers. And every time you put something out, have another link in there that people might link to
and read. And decide how you're going to get it out there. So this is a horrible diagram, sorry about that. I've taken a lot longer to show this than sometimes than others by doing every arrow singly, but I thought I'd just show it all at once. I think what you need to have is a kind of strategy. It doesn't have to be like that, but you have to have some sort of way of realizing what the links all are and realizing the power of Twitter. I mean, we can link all of these things into our email, as many people do, which is a good thing to do, but that's very selective. That only goes to the people to whom you send it. If you've got it out on a Twitter site, it goes out, you've got to be aware, it goes to everyone. You don't have to be registered on Twitter to read it. You only have to be registered on Twitter to send tweets. So it goes out to the public. As many people as possible want to know about it. So you should have a strategy for sending stuff out. You know, this is what we're doing. We're projecting from these sites through these ones out through Twitter, for example. It may become more usual to use some other sort of site in the future. If something else supersedes Twitter and I'm still alive, you can be rest assured I'll be one of the first people on it. But you've also got to think about which links you're going to embed back in them. So if people do happen to look at those sites, they will also pick up the other sites as well. And of course, if you do it properly, you get lots of collateral information out through LinkedIn, websites, and from blogs, which people can read, you know. So a lot of it is incidental, not just targeted. So the other thing to do, and again, sorry to be using myself as this fine example of a social media researcher. We all should have university web pages. If your university, actually, I have to say publicly that your university has one of the worst websites in the whole country, and that's saying something coming from the University of Hull. I cannot find a picture of anyone. I cannot find your website. You're mentioned somewhere. It's hopeless. You've really got to put some pressure on your guys and girls to get that one sorted. Because honestly, one thing that people do on the ref panels is they do look at websites to verify things. Okay? We're not really supposed to do it. We're actually supposed to declare any time we actually go beyond the information that we're given, but I know full well that people were saying, wait a minute, does she really work in that university? You know, this kind of thing. So this is completely incidental to what I meant to say, but you've really got to get it sorted out. But if you're lucky, the Hull website isn't very good, but they're quite flexible, and they allow us to put links here. So why not an example of embedding on your web page, have your researcher ID and your ORCID and your list of publications. There's online sites you can use, your Google Scholar page, and also your blog, for example. I didn't put my personal Twitter site up there. They weren't very happy about that, but we've got a faculty Twitter site and things like that. But those are the ones I decided to focus on. So that's my social media strategy, quite simple. I'm sure anybody can adopt it to their own needs. I'm just going to show another updated social nomics video. I think it's shorter than the other one, and it's just updating some of the information there before. And then I'll be finished, and I'll be happy to take any questions or comments. Okay, so that's my email, that's my ORCID number, which those of you who are aspiring researchers, that's everybody in the room, get an ORCID. If you don't do anything else today, what Graham told you to do one thing today, was it check the code, I can't remember, check some web page. The other thing you should do today is, if you haven't set yourself up a Twitter site, set yourself up one, get yourself an ORCID number. That's another social media site for researchers, but it's becoming almost obligatory to have an ORCID number to register your publications. So when you submit a paper these days, most journals ask you to have your ORCID number there. That's my Twitter site, that's my two journal Twitter sites. You can follow me there and send me useful information or abuse me if needs be. And I hope that was useful. Thanks very much.